بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، وما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver at home, it is only through the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have gathered again, and after the month of Ramadan, this being the first program, first majlis as such. Normally after the month of Ramadan, we just feel a bit more lazy, tired. We feel that we have achieved something very great in the month of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala accept our ibadat and still reward us. But just like any shopkeeper, any businessman, he works for 30 days. He works very hard. And comes month end, he earns some salary. He gets some money in his hand. Now what is he going to do with that money? Obviously he's going to pay off his expenses. He needs some things to purchase. There will be some savings. But if he just wastes that money, if he leaves that money lying around somewhere, that any person can just usurp or take or loot, then he'll be foolish. And therefore he is very particular how he's going to save that money, how he's going to preserve that money, in fact how he will invest that money to get more. Just like that, 1 month of Ramadan, we tried, we cried, we made some endeavors. End of the month, then there was the prize giving. Allah Ta'ala rewarded those who kept roza, those who engaged in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now is the challenge, that all the nur that one required, all the blessings and rewards, are we just going to leave it lying around for shaitan and nafs to just wipe out? No, we're going to preserve it. We're going to invest those good deeds we did so that we can do more. Pre-Ramadan, in the majlises that we were discussing just before Ramadan, we had discussed this particular verse and the topic on competing towards the akhirat, striving hard, racing towards the akhirat. Wasari'u, we explained the meaning of mubadara and musara'a, hastening. There is a competition towards the akhirat, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. And ahadith were explained to give us that encouragement to strive towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to strive towards the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the jannat which is so vast and so huge. And we were discussing a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I think then we had just touched on this hadith. I'm not sure if we completed it, about hastening and doing good actions before such fitan will come, such calamities, such tests, such trials and tribulations that will overtake us, and then a person will find it very, very difficult to do good actions then. So in that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had mentioned that بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ سَبْعًا, that one should hasten, one should do good deeds before 7 things overtake him. And Rasulullah then explained, the very first one was, هَلْ تَنْتَظِرُونَ إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا, are you waiting? In other words, you're not doing good deeds. There's no salat, zakat, hajj, there's no ibadat in your life, there's no dhikrullah, there's no tilawat of the Quran. Are you procrastinating? Perhaps because you're waiting for the time when poverty will overtake you? No. No person will be so foolish to delay and procrastinate for the time when poverty will overtake him. And what type of poverty? That will make him forget even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forget the good deeds he was doing previously. In other words, when a person has the ability now, the person has the wealth now, then he should be spending in the path of Allah. Don't wait for the day, or let it not happen, rather we say this way, let it not happen, the day comes when he has no money in his hand. And now he is struck with such poverty that he is completely oblivious of akhirat now. Why now he is looking for some means to survive? So all his time, all his energy is now only going towards those few cents and rands that he could just obtain to live a life. When a person has wealth, Allah is saying, you've got some wealth. From that wealth, you should spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lest the day comes when you're overtaken by poverty. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. In the hadith, he says, when the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, ayyu sadaqati a'zamu ajran? From all the charities that a person can give, which one is most rewarding? In this particular hadith, he explained that you give sadaqah whilst you are enjoying good health and whilst you are still desiring wealth yourself. In other words, the words he used were antasahihun. Sahihun means you are healthy, you sound, you got no sickness. Normally when a person is half dead, Allah give us long life with afiyat and good health. But a person is very, very ill and doctors have lost hope. Now he wishes to give some charity in the path of Allah. Now he will say, okay, give that amount to that madrasa, that organization, that masjid. Now that is too late because now the man knows he is not going to use that wealth anymore. It is of no benefit to him. The real test is when you yourself are desirous of more wealth and you've got good health. Not that now you're going to die and you're passing away, so it's not going to be of any benefit to you. So when you've got good health, and the word shahihun, shahihun normally means when a person is a miser. Yeah, it means a person has wealth, he is still desiring more, he has the ability to get more and more wealth. So in this condition to spend, that's the greatest. Person doesn't have wealth, what is he going to spend? And takhsha al-faqra. You desirous of wealth and you also fear of becoming a poor person. That is, you're fearing poverty. وَتَأْمُرُ الْغِنَىٰ. And you have hopes of becoming rich. When a person has hopes of becoming rich, he's not going to spend. His hands will become very, very tight. وَلَا تُمْهِلْ. Rasul says, do not procrastinate. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُقُومِ. Until when this ruh comes right to the throat, you're about to pass away, then you say, lifulan in kaza, or lifulan in kaza, give that poor person, give that poor man, that organization. وَقَدْ كَانَ lifulan. Whereas now, it has already become somebody else's wealth. Meaning, you're going to pass away just now, and that wealth belongs to your heirs, your inheritance. Now you say, give that organization, that person, it's too late. Therefore, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahab, Damat Barakatum, had mentioned about his father, Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatul Ali. And he said, Mere Walid Majid Qaddasallahu Sirrahu Ka Ma'mool. He says, his father used to, whatever money he used to acquire, one is a person works and he gets some earnings, some salary. And one is somebody gives him some gift. So, whatever money he would acquire, whether out of earnings, hard labor, or if somebody gave him a gift, he would take out a certain percentage from that wealth and he would put it into an envelope. He would mark there that this is now going to be given as charity. Not zakat, this is over and above the zakat. This was his ma'amul, his practice. He will take out one lifafa, one envelope, and he would write there. So whatever amadni he gets, whatever wealth he gets, whether he gets it through some work or some person has given him as a gift, a hadiah. So from there, whenever that money comes, immediately he'll go to his drawer, open that envelope and put a certain amount into that envelope and he'll mark it. He says, by doing this, a person is reminded continuously to give some sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other advantage is that as the days go by, As you're getting money is coming in, you're getting a small percentage, not all your wealth. Whether it's 2%, 1%, whatever it is, you are putting some money into it. After some time, you've accumulated a certain amount. Now, when there's a need, you don't find it difficult now to search down deep into your pockets, because then you are going to feel it difficult now to give in the path of Allah or to some poor person, some widow, some orphan. But when you already have some money, you say, no problem, give him from that envelope. Or yourself, you take it out and you give the poor person. It becomes easier for the person than when a person hasn't accumulated anything to give out in the path of Allah. So every time you open the cupboard, there's an envelope reminding you that this is for the poor, this is for the needy. It gives you that encouragement all the time to give to some poor person. He said, I used to see my father all the time, his entire life. Sari Umar kabhi is amal se takhalluf nahi dekha. I never found him refraining from this practice. I never see him going back. Or maine wo thela kabhi sari umar bhi khali nahi dekha. He never found that packet or that envelope empty. All the time there was some money that is to be given in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one way a person is reminded of giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib writes, har shakhs apni haysiyat ke mutabik sadqa kare. Every person will give sadqa according to his ability. A rich person, he can give more. A poor person, he will give less. But both will be giving the path of Allah. He gives an example. He had told some person, encourage somebody to give some sadaqa. The man said, I'm poor, I got no money. So how am I going to give sadaqa? He says, you don't even have 1 rupee, 1 rand. Even a poor person will have 1 rand. So if that's the only thing you have, 1 rand, that from that 1 rand, a few cents you can give. You can give 10 cents, 20 cents. The point is, even a poor person can take out some fraction, some small amount from that little money that he has and give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you might get a rich person, a millionaire, and he gives 1,000 rand or 10,000 rand as sadaqah. And you can get a poor person that only gives 10, 20 cents from the 1 rand he's got. Allah does not look at amounts. Allah looks at the sincerity of the person. That what is within his means, what is within his capability, he is still making an attempt to give some sadaqah. That is what Allah Ta'ala appreciates. That is what Allah Ta'ala looks at. Sometimes for the rich man to give 10,000 is nothing. And for the poor person to give 10 rand, 20 rand, 50 rand is difficult. But he gives it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala does not look at amount. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the sincerity of the person and how he wants to strive and give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, so again Rasulullah SAW says, do not wait until poverty, such poverty comes that makes you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forget. You have no time now to think of any good actions. O ghinan mutghiya, that don't wait for that time when you have so much of wealth, that now you completely become such that you violate the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are extremes. Person is poor, he's waiting, and then he becomes very poor. Or person accumulates so much, and he amasses so much of wealth, that now he becomes so rich, now he finds it very difficult now to give in the path of Allah. Why? Greed has come into his heart. So Rasul said, don't wait for these conditions. Whilst you have something, spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O maradan mufsida. Sometimes you say, okay, I will give, you procrastinate. Suddenly the person is afflicted with such a deadly disease that he can't recover from. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Now in that condition, it's very difficult for him now to give some sadaqah, some charity. Oh, harama mufannida or mufnida. Person says, I will give when I grow older. Now I'm still young, I need a lot of things to buy and get in life. So what happens? He procrastinates, he delays, until he becomes so old that he reaches the age of when a person becomes like senile, and now he is dependent on others. So now where is he given the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When he had the chance, he did not do it. That's why people have the money, Hajj become farz. Now let us not make excuses for nothing. and see, we will go there right now, not pious, and you can't wait for all these things. Hajj become farz. Go before the day comes when you don't have any money, or you become sick and you don't have the ability and strength any longer, or you become so old and now it's too late. Or person doesn't have these problems, or mawtan mujhiza, sudden death. Person had the ability, had all the opportunities to do some good deed or to give in the path of Allah, he delayed. Suddenly, a sudden death, and now he is unable to finish. The game is over. So Malakul Maut doesn't wait for any person. When the time comes, he comes to extract the ruh. Now at that moment you can't say, no, I wish to do this, I wish to do that, it's too late. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. We discussed this verse in the last 10 nights, one of the nights after the Taraweeh Salah, where Allah says, have I not given you that amount of life which is sufficient for you to ponder and reflect over the greatness of Allah and to change your life and make tawbah and to have sincerity and to endeavor and strive towards doing good deeds? Did I not give you sufficient life? Some ulamas explain and say, وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ, and the warner came to you too. Now, what is the lifespan? Some say 60 years, some say 70 years, some say between 60 and 70, some say even less, some say 40 years. Some say when the person becomes baligh. Now you got enough aqal, enough chances, now for you to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, what is this warner that has come to you? Some say it's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who warned you. Others have explained this white hair that comes on your head, or on your beard. You look in the mirror, there's the warner warning you now, bhai, you're getting old. You're moving towards the qabristan. Some have explained, baz mufassirin ne nazir se murad pota liya. They said, it means your grandchild. Pota means your grandson. The moment you get a grandson, now you must know I'm getting old. He gives an Arabic couplet, he says, إِذَا الرِّجَالُ وُلِدَتْ أَوْلَادُهَا وَبَلِيَتْ مِنْ كِبَرٍ أَجْسَادُهَا وَجُعِلَتْ أَسْقَامُهَا تَعْتَادُهَا تِلْكَ زُرُوعٌ قَدَّنَا حَصَادُهَا. He says, when men, they find that they've got grandchildren that are born to them now. They've got grandchildren that are born, son. And their bodies become old due to old age. The body becomes weaker, now he needs a walking stick, or back is paining, knees are paining. Now he's bent. So this is a sign now. And وَجُعِلَتْ أَسْقَامُهَا تَعْتَادُهَا, and he finds that one after the other, this sickness, this problem, that sickness, that illness, one after the other. When he was young, there was no sickness. Now when sickness sets into the person, then that is the time now. That is the field whose time for harvest is now ready, is here. In other words, now is the time to leave this world. So before all this happens, when we have the chances, especially when we are young, and the special message to our youth, mashallah, we saw in the month of Ramadan, in the last 10 nights, they had come in great numbers here, and so many really had SMS or met after that, or email to see how inspired they were. Allah Ta'ala must accept, Allah Ta'ala must use all this for our own najat in the akhirat. Allah must grant us ikhlas and maqbooliyat. But so many made tawbah istighfar. So many felt the difference when they made dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they shed those tears in dua, so many realize that now we got to do something in our life. And we can't just waste our lives in frivolous pursuits. We need to come connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So youth especially, don't wait for old age, because the challenges, the fitan are so much. They're coming, lashing one after the other. We do not know whether we will see that age to do good deeds. We do not know a person can be suddenly sudden death or some sickness or some problem, whatever. Or he doesn't have the ability anymore, he doesn't have the means. Whilst we are young, come to the masjid. Start performing your salat. Do good deeds, stay in good company. This life is a pure life. Why must you taint? Why must you spoil your life in doing haram? Why must you pursue? Why must you chase behind evil? Why must you go in that avenue, in that gully? Why must you mess yourself?
Why must you ruin your life? And after it's too late, now when you are all shattered, and now you want to come into a pure life, Allah has given you the chance. And even if you went that route, it's not late. Quickly divert and change your direction. Come back to this path of purity. Nobody is perfect. We all are battling and struggling. Don't think the Mawlana doesn't have nafs and shaitan. Sometimes that shaitan is bigger also. Really. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind. When we stay together, we remind one another. And this is the warnings that we have. And if we don't warn ourselves, because we are so weak, what's going to happen? We're going to find ourselves drifting away. We require each one to remind the other, but of course with love, with affection, not branding any person, not belittling any person. Nobody is perfect, we all are weak. But when we have our direction, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our focus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala opens avenues of good for us. Allah protects us. Allah makes a plan for us to save ourselves from shaitan and nafs. And then Rasulullah explained that if it's not maut, if it's not sickness, it's not poverty, it's not so much of wealth that a person becomes, he violates the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Dajjal. Are you waiting for the time when Dajjal will appear? Then you'll change your life and then you'll look sadaqah and khairat and then you'll be good? No. فَشَرُّ الْغَائِبٍ يُنْتَذَرُ. That's the worst thing any person can wait for. When Dajjal appears, he'll be moving with such swiftness. And Dajjal will have such power given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we won't have any time to escape and run. Of course, person recites Surah Kahf will be protected. And we discuss that also in the morning after Fajr in one of the days in Ramadan. There are ways a person protects himself from Dajjal. May Allah protect all of us from Dajjal if we are not living our progeny. But that's not a time now. It's too late when Dajjal appears. Then things will be moving so fast towards Qiyamah. And therefore Rasulullah says, oh, is it Qiyamah that you are waiting for? Bisa'a, fasa'atu adha wa amar. It is calamitous. It is very bitter. Qiyamah takes place. What are you going to do? Can you do good deeds then? No. So before Qiyamah takes place, before Dajjal appears, before Maut overtakes you, before you have so much of wealth that then you become so greedy and so you're so engulfed in the dunya that you have no time for the akhirat. Or before you become so poor that you become negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you don't have the chance of doing good deeds. Before all these things happens to you, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith was to give sadaqah, to give some charity, to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, for all good deeds, that youngster who frequents the masjid and he becomes a 5-time namazi, he'll see so much of barakat in his life. He'll find so much of sukoon in his life. So much of peace in his life. We made i'tikaf, mashallah, brothers made i'tikaf in the masjid. Now that i'tikaf place where you made, whichever corner you had, whichever musalla, you became attached to that musalla. That was like your home. At night you go to rest, you open your curtain, and you go into your tent, you became attached to that place. Just like that, we become attached to the masjid. No i'tikaf now. I'tikaf is over. But still, what was the purpose of that whole i'tikaf? That now you have a special attachment to that masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us, when we come into the masjid, there's a certain spot that we attach to. Somehow it becomes there. Either we go this side or that side. The moment you come, you know, this brother, I'll see him left hand side of the masjid, or that corner of the masjid, or this side. It happens, we just feel that's my musalla. You go to Haram Sharif, Madinah Sharif, you just pick your spot. You feel that's mine. You become attached to it. Now we are supposed to attach ourselves to the masjid. Masjid is ours. It's a place where I'm going to meet my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even though i'tikaf is over, but what is the lesson? That I must attach myself to the masjid. We made nafil i'tikaf, same thing. We keep roza. We might not be fasting now. But the real lesson, what did we learn? What did we derive? That we were able to abstain from haram. So the same thing happens now. We have trained ourselves to abstain from all filthy things, to abstain from haram things. So let us not now go back to those haram things. We trained ourselves. We were reading Quran Sharif, paras upon paras. Let us ask ourselves today, how much have we read? Perhaps we can't read 5 and 6 paras, but the 5 pages we can read of the Quran daily. Certain attachment to the Quran. We came to the masjid, opened the shelves, took the Quran out, you sat, you were so happy you were reciting the Quran. Zikrullah, tasbihat we made. We became accustomed to reciting zikr, durood sharif, durood and salam. All we're going to do is just going to continue reading those, or doing that ibadah that we were doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. It's just a few, inshallah, few of the malfuzat of Hazrat Rahmatullah, Mawlana Yunus Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. And this kitab, many of you all have read many times, Hidayat al-Salikin. But for, inshallah, as we just read a few more, just a few minutes more, inshallah, it is something that Hazrat Mawlana gave over his life. A malfuz, an anecdote or a message that the person gives, an advice, piece of advice. This is something that they have accumulated throughout their life, and they have mentioned different, there's no specific topics, it's all miscellaneous, different malfuzat and advices that he had given. But really, if we just listen and we try and implement these things, we'll find such a beautiful feeling in our lives, and we'll get the change in our lives, inshallah. And he had mentioned that the theme of the tarbiyah, tarbiyah means the same majlis that we have. What is the meaning of tarbiyah? We are nurturing ourselves. We are trying to make islah of ourselves. We are trying to rectify our lives. We are trying to put our direction right. He says the lesson, this, the theme of these lessons has always been to connect oneself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give priority to deen and sharia. And this is what we did in the month of Ramadan. We gave priority to our deen. It's namaz time. So even if you got some meeting, you cancel the meeting. No, after asr I'm going to be in the masjid. I got tilawat. After the Isha is Tarawi. I can't see any person. All my sport activities, everything now is cancelled. So that's what we're doing. We are now going to give priority to deen and sharia before everything else. And to develop within oneself the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is something we all need to acquire. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all have to ponder, reflect and believe that Allah loves me. Now I need to show that love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is we are reading the salat, we're making sajda ruku, but now we need to ponder. And now when you're saying the subhana rabbi al-a'la, say it with that love that you have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're saying alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, you are standing before your beloved. So you'll be able to concentrate better even. But if you're not pondering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't think of Allah ta'ala standing there with a whoop to lash out. No, He's waiting for you. He's your beloved. You are His lover. And now you're standing before Him. And you're enjoying every moment of your salat. You're enjoying every moment of your tilawat, even though you don't understand what you're reading. Of course, you make attempts. But say, suppose a person doesn't understand at all. But still, he is talking to his Allah. And Allah is listening attentively. And Allah is enjoying every bit of it as well. This is what we need to get in our heart, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To such an extent, that it becomes easy to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we want. We want to obey Allah, and we want it to be easy upon us, not difficult. So now after this whole 30 days of training, it becomes easy now. It's not difficult. It will become difficult if we become complacent, we sit back, and we fall right down from where we started. Hazrat Mawlana mentioned ikhlas, sincerity. We had given talks on ikhlas, sincerity before. We've heard many talks. People speak about ikhlas, ikhlas, ikhlas. He says, ikhlas generally starts off with a lot of difficulty. In other words, I must do everything or whatever I'm doing solely for Allah's pleasure, not for any other person in the world. So he says, it starts off with great difficulty, but there's hopes. Mawlana gives us hope. What does he say? As there is a need for a utensil to receive water, you've got this utensil, there's a glass, it's filled with water, so too is there a need for the structure of ibadat. There has to be a structure in place for ikhlas to get into it. In other words, if there's no namaz you're reading, there's no salat, how are you going to get salat into your salat? Ikhlas, how are you going to get it? So he says, so too is there a need for the structure of ibadat, worship, be it salah, fasting, zakat, hajj, or any ibadat, to receive the desired ikhlas. So we have to do the action first, Now, initially when you do that action, we won't have that ikhlas. We got to fill that ikhlas into the action. Very difficult, right? For the first time, right? I changed my life today, I'm start reading my salat. Now, Allahu Akbar, I'm doing solely for the pleasure of Allah. After a couple of seconds, you forgot. You've gone to the first drop already. It happens. We're human beings. But we need some mujahada. We need to practice. We need to develop ourselves. That from beginning till the end, we are concentrating on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're only doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Initially, we'll do something, and the other guys are watching, so you're happy also, everybody watching, mashallah, he's gone so pious now. But after that, when you develop and you realize, only for Allah is supposed to do, not for any other person, otherwise, that tantamounts to shirk khafi. And Allah does not like that. I'm giving a bayan first time. No person can tell me, give bayan first time, and mashallah, so mukhlis, illa mashallah, there may be some person. But generally, we're worried, what are other people going to say? Mawlana, you give a good bayan. So inside the heart, you feel nice. I'm not saying everybody give bayan without ikhlas. But this is how you start. You're performing salat. You're worried about how the voice must come out. But as time progresses, as you develop yourself, then you don't worry about those things. Now you're concentrating on doing it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what Mawlana is saying, that just as you have to, when you fill water, you have to have a utensil first. So there must be some act of worship that you are doing to then bring ikhlas into it. If the utensil is discarded, then what would be used to receive the water? In a similar vein, if the action is discarded, there's no salat, for example, no zakat, no hajj, then in what are you going to receive ikhlas? How are you going to show your sincerity? Therefore, even though a person lacks ikhlas in his ibadat, well, I'm not saying you mustn't have ikhlas. Initially, a person does not have. So even if a person lacks ikhlas in his ibadat, he must continue doing the amal. Now, especially after the month of Ramadan, shaitan is released. Now you start reading Quran or reading some salat. You never used to read tahajjud before, now you start tahajjud. Shaitan will tell you, hey, bhai, you got no ikhlas. You're doing for everyone. Your wife must see, or your father must see, and your friend must see. So you must tell him, thank you very much for reminding me. But in any case, I'm not going to leave my tahajjud. I'm going to continue. Now this is from what shaitan will do. This is what the nafs will tell you. The nafs and shaitan wants you to discard that salat. They want you to abandon those good acts that you're doing. So Mawlana says, continue with the effort to do solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and at one and the same time engage in plenty of tawbah and istighfar for deficiency in ikhlas. Ya Allah, I'm trying. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Ya Allah, you accept it. I don't have that ikhlas. I'm deficient in it. You grant me that ikhlas. The third malfuz he gives, the weakness of all those who are drowning in the ocean of illicit love is that they have given their hearts to bodies which are going to turn to dust. Listen very carefully again. These are all common things. Allah protect us. The weakness of all those who are drowning in the ocean of illicit love is that they have given their hearts to bodies which are going to perish. They're going to go to turn to dust. So instead of giving their hearts to the creator of hearts, they've given their hearts to faces, the beauty of which will inevitably be lost with the passage of time or with illness. What do you have? Miss World. Don't ask me. I don't know who's Miss World. I promise you. We worried about Miss Jannat, not Miss World. So whichever country she comes from, what is it? Is that Miss World from the past 10 years the same Miss World? Every time it must be changing. Why? Because now she's not so beautiful as she was. If Miss World, who you're admiring so much, she meets up with an accident, Allah save us from accidents and things like that. But if she's disfigured, or she has some illness that overtakes her, and now she grows, becomes very weak and frail, and she does not have that beauty, will you look at her now? You won't. The same woman you admired one stage in your life, she was in school with you, now suddenly you looked at, so old she's gone. She's wearing big thick glasses, false teeth, look like she got a wig on even. Voice also changed. You don't want to see her. You'll act like you don't know her. You see, this is insan. So instead of going in giving your heart to such things, such bodies, which give your heart to your wife, no problem. Even though she's going to die. But there again too, the love of Allah must be more. In other words, your wife cannot become an obstacle in your reading salat and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But your halal, pure wife, that's not mentioned. We're talking about illicit relationships. So, instead of giving their hearts to the creator of hearts, that is, you're actually giving your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then see how you enjoy yourself. Who puts sweetness into that heart? Not Miss World. Not all the beautiful faces. No. Allah ta'ala puts that sweetness in that heart. So give your heart to the creator of hearts. And not to some people who's eventually or inevitably they will die. Or they will get some sickness and illness and their whole beauty disappears. Many other lovers who run off like mules when age snatches away the beauty of the faces of the beloved ones. Those who give their hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoy unending happiness. We saw Hazrat Rahmatullahi. So many Hazrat Arif Billah Zakim Sahib Rahmatullahi. Right till the end, the man is on the bed, so-called bedridden, can't move, but his face is shining. His thoughts are only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come namaz time, he's up for namaz. Whatever the difficulty is, they had sukoon in their hearts. So unending happiness. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala's beauty never decreases, nor perishes. Allah's beauty never decreases, never perishes. Allah is Hay, Allah is Baqi, Allah is all living. Allah is eternal. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. We'll continue the malfuzat, inshallah, because it's all benefiting. Very beneficial. This kitab is available, inshallah, but we'll do it now and then in the majlis form, inshallah. So I can benefit, and you all can benefit, inshallah. These are what you call nichor, the gist of these people's lives, who they gave for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, you'll find noor in their words as well. Take some novel, some storybook and things like that. Even though they give the plot and what the theme and things like that, shows you something about this world is, you know, fleeting, etc., and going to be destroyed, but doesn't have that effect. These kalam of our mashayikh, of course, Quran and Hadith, such beauty in it. When you recite Quran, the problem is we don't understand. But if you open Quran Sharif, you will be just swimming in the oceans of Allah's marifat. Hadith of Rasulullah, so much of nur, so much of hidayat and barakat. But inshallah, we will mention these few malfuzat to remind ourselves, and no person is perfect. If we know somebody else has got a weakness, and we see that person in the masjid, immediately our mind goes, Mawlana is giving it to them. No, never. Today that person is indulging that guna, tomorrow we could be doing the same. Nobody is free from it. But all the time, we could have just walk on this tight rope, and manage and go from one end to the other end. And we won't fall, if we are cautious and we listen to the instruction, the person telling us, don't look down, don't do this, just balance yourself and you'll make it. And many others have made it. Many others have made it. So we can also do it, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala protect us, may Allah Ta'ala make our hifazat. Inshallah, we'll continue our halal program on Thursday as well. And probably many people did not get the message because we sent the message late, but there are many youngsters who had come, and if we know those youngsters, pass on the message to them, at least for one program they should come. It will help them also, give them some direction, inshallah. And they need solutions, especially our youth. They need somebody to put their hand on their shoulder and embrace them and welcome them and sit with them and discuss with them the issues that they have. Because the parents aren't doing it and they can't find any solution to their problems. Sometimes they are caught up in some guna and they don't want to do it, but they're looking for some type of hope. Just before I came, some person emailed, just before I came. The person has lost hope because the person wants to get married and there's no right partner. Few years have gone by and the person is making dua to Allah, but somehow person feels that nothing is coming right. And the person has lost hope and the person has asked, please, Mawlana, give me some hope. Because I'm making dua, I think I failed. So nobody is a failure. Everybody is successful. It's a matter of time, matter of little bit of effort, mujahada. Allah knows best when to give, how to give, when He'll give us. So So we have to make an effort, inshallah. Never lose hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.